And good afternoon. Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the radio hosts here at Ave Maria Radio. I host Unveiling the Covenant, discovering the scriptural, the fatherly love of God the Father from Sacred Scripture. Now, this evening, I want to make a small correction. The event that Andrew Komisky will be speaking at Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, starts at 7 p.m. So those of you listening to this program right now, there's still plenty of time to restructure your evening plans and drive up and make sure you're a part of the program. Now, I'm joined by Andrew Komisky and Marco Casanova. Andrew is the founding director of Desert Stream Living Waters Ministries. It's a multifaceted outreach to the broken. He is the author of several books, including Rediscovering Our Lost Fullness, A Guide to Sexual Integration. You may learn more about his work at desertstream.org. And Marco Casanova is the associate director of Desert Stream Living Waters Ministry. So, gentlemen, how are you doing today?
We're good.
Doing
We're
well,
so happy
Marcus.
To be with you.
Yes.
Well, it's an honor for us to have you here, truly.
Thank you.
So, I want to start just to give our listeners a kind of overview of who you are as persons, and then we can talk about your work at Desert Stream. Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, if you'd like to start
sure.
us off.
Sure. Yes, so I'm a native Californian, and grew up with many of the variables that contribute to a same-sex attraction, that sort of tendency, and growing up in the 70s, where it was not difficult to identify as a homosexual, to make sense of one's feelings by assuming that identity and adopting a kind of lifestyle, if you will. So that was sort of my baseline as a late teen and young adult. And then, by the grace of God, became a Christian through others that I could relate with that were turning their lives over to Jesus. It was in kind of the Jesus People movement in Southern California. Was not Roman Catholic, but was very simply Christ-centered. And so that was sort of the beginning point of reevaluating what does it mean to be a man? What is the purpose of my sexuality? Is my life going to be defined by these desires? In other words, what does Jesus really say about this? And not only what does he say, but how does his spirit bring about any kind of actual shift in being and acting and doing, given that all those things involve will and thought and community? And those were sort of the key factors in my young adult life in the late 70s and early 80s. And that resulted in truth, significant shifts in how and with whom I identified. And I began to engage with a particular woman in a beautiful kind of charismatic evangelical setting while I was at UCLA. And that became the basis for a new life relationally and also for a vocation of helping other persons dealing with what I would now define as sexual disintegration of various kinds to find significant help through the one another, through the you, me of focusing on Jesus and helping each other take steps in the direction of real chastity.
Right.
And so that was sort of the beginning of my young adult life and vocation. And Marco would be a great example of somebody who's come up through our organization and our offerings, obviously as a much younger man, who is facing the same conflicts in many respects, but from a whole different cultural milieu of today. Today is not what it was 45 years ago.
Right. It's not even what it was 10 years ago.
Exactly. Right. when though in Los Angeles, you could say there was a lot more freedom to act out in a variety of ways, sexually, kind of premature nakedness, It was still a topic. Homosexuality especially was still more shrouded in shame.
Mm-hmm.
So you would kind of split one part of your life out to experiencing your sexuality in the city, in clubs, in particular relationships. I would say Marco's experience was one more of kind of, full-on immersion in LGBTQ culture as part of the new liberties of American life. Mm. And that was stirring in the late 70s and 80s for sure, but it has reached kind of a fever pitch today. And so we're in a whole different reality from shameful to shameless.
Right.
And thank God for good shame, for good restraint. Sure, like, right. I don't like myself when I do this, and I have good reason to not like myself when I am violating something deeper than what you could say is a faux societal liberty.
That's right.
One's conscience still can tell the truth. And what a grace that is.
Mm-hmm.
And also what a grace to find walking partners within good limits, within good confidentiality, where one can say in his or her worshiping community, I am actively and honestly working out some significant issues of disintegration. And we actually do need that freedom. As Catholics, I'm now a Catholic, have been for the last 15 years, but I love the Catholic language of chastity and growth and virtue. But I also love the tradition I come from, which is also a Catholic tradition of Jesus' kingdom come and Jesus, Jesus bringing the kingdom of his Father that actually shifts something in us and gives us a kind of spiritual awakening and a moral awakening where we say, no, Christ in me actually gives me hope for something greater than just living in what in some schools of thought would be, well, that's just kind of your reality, Andy. So kind of make peace with it. I was like, well, I'm willing to be a struggler. I'm willing to admit weakness and conflict, but I'm going to aspire to more.
Yep.
I'm going to aspire to what my body is telling me is the truth of my masculinity designed to bless and honor woman. And I think that's part of Jesus bringing the Father's kingdom to those who say yes to him in their brokenness.
Right.
And so I think both of those things are so important. Yeah. Right, Marco?
Amen.
Marco, you came up, like your own kind of conversion or reversion into the Catholic faith was as a result of encountering the work at Desert Stream.
Yes. I mean, Desert Stream Living Waters really gave me a vision for what it meant to step into my masculinity. So I was in the seminary when I encountered Desert Stream, and my seminary time, I was there for about 8.5 years. And it was there that I really became a Christian in areas of my sexuality were really unsurrendered to Jesus and confused, conflicted, living duplicitous, homosexual, acting out. And I encountered Jesus powerfully midway through. And then the subsequent years were pretty good. I was gaining self-mastery and understanding more of kind of who I am as a man and how I can integrate areas of my masculinity, how I can have some good self-mastery. But I got at the cusp of becoming a deacon and was about to become a celibate for the kingdom. And I thought, I don't even like the idea of marriage. And I knew John Paul II, who would say, you know, you have to renounce the good of marriage in order to be a celibate for the kingdom of God. And I thought, man, I'm kind of allergic to the Garden of Eden. So I'm definitely not mature enough to lay my life down for the church. So I thought, I need some more help. Like, yeah, I'm not committing the felonies of my past life, thank God, but I'm still unchaste in my relationship to the other, and I'm still dodging and bypassing her, and she is rather important to my becoming. You know, I have to reckon, I have to be reconciled to her in order to truly become who I am, you know? So that's how I got connected with Desert Stream Living Waters. And it changed, it really changed my life, you know? I knew Catholic anthropology, I'd been studying it for years, but the idea that Jesus, through the power of his Holy Spirit and his church, can actually help me be an empowered reconciliation to step into this stuff, was very new for me, you know? And so once I encountered it, it really changed my life. I left the seminary, came on as an intern to Desert Stream, and make a long story short, I'm a married man now, and my wife and I live in Kansas City, which is
the headquarters.
So you
like marriage
now? I do love marriage, yes.
You have a good marriage.
I love my marriage.
And she loves you. I'm trying to dissuade her.
And I know. It's kind of surprising. I'm like, you still love me?
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
She really loves you. I mean, the poor girl.
I know, right?
I mean, that's another podcast.
That's another podcast, Marcus. Yeah. No, but I love marriage. And I think that, honestly, that is the gem that I've been able to discover through Living Waters is that, okay, we may be allergic, but work through it.
Right.
You know, like, face it. This is not impossible stuff. Jesus helps us to actually become what we are. And if I am a man made for woman, just by the very blueprint of my being, I can actually live that this side of heaven. And thank God I'm getting some good glimpses into that. So,
yeah. Well, praise the Lord. We've come to the end of this segment, but for those of you listening, we want to encourage you to not only stay tuned, but consider coming to Christ the King, Ann Arbor Parish. 7 p.m. today, Andrew Komisky will be speaking to the entire congregation about reclaiming the fullness of the sexual vision that God has in store for us. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta on Cresta in the Afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta. My guests are Andrew Komisky and Marco Casanova. Andrew is the founding director of Desert Stream Living Waters Ministry, and Marco is the associate director of that same apostolate. And we're talking about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in driving us to reclaim the full vision of God for our gift of sexuality. So I really want to start there. That Andrew, you and I were talking during the break about how the Holy Spirit actually empowers you to live out this vision. It's not like you're broken ad infinitum on earth.
Yes.
That this side of the veil, there can be that reclamation and fullness. And one of the ways in which that's achieved is creating space in the community for that.
Yes. So I think, you know, sexuality is all about connectedness. It's about coming out of oneself and joining with others. And I don't mean genital sexuality or even romantic bonding, but so I think where there has been deformation, if you will, and a lot of hiddenness and division within oneself because of shameful weaknesses, if not wicked practices, to come into a safe and a clean place with brothers and sisters who are a little further ahead in their own integration, with whom you're learning to trust and you're learning how to kind of alleviate what I think is sometimes even the exaggeration of certain tendencies because of fear and shame. that I'm alone in this. It's getting worse. You're seeing all these cultural signposts and thinking, what am I missing? Why shouldn't I have this? It's so helpful to establish mooring points in the community with people that are your walking partners. They're people with whom you're worshiping Jesus. Mm-hmm. They're people with whom you're getting rid of baggage and learning how to trust at that most basic level, which really is, I think, for both Marco and I coming out of same-sex issues as men, it's a disintegration in regards to masculine identification mm-hmm. and appropriate friendship bonds.
Right.
So forging those bonds and dealing with some of the source reasons as to why we went sideways can happen. A big portion of that aspect of our redemption can actually happen in the believing community. And that's what we are forging in these small group settings like Living Waters, where we're training laymen and women to say, take your places, do so where you worship, and let's establish healing, redeeming communities right. for taking ground in chastity, not just for same-sex attraction, but for sexual addiction, for those who have been stymied by sexual traumas, those who are disintegrated in whatever way, sexually speaking. Let's come together and take some ground together. I mean, it doesn't take care of everything, but it actually brings into the light of our life together in Jesus what it is that can take us out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Unless we're finding safe and empowered places to actually take some ground together. And that's really our commitment this side of heaven, is to help people to do that. I think it authenticates in part our authority as the church, not mm-hmm. just to say, oh, hell can't prevail here. Well, actually, hell has been prevailing somewhat in our lives mm-hmm. because we've not been honest and we have not found these places in the community. I mean, maybe within the veil, maybe with the priest, maybe with a quarterly confession. That's mm-hmm. great. We love sacramental confession, but we actually need to find some infrastructure mm-hmm. in order to develop some infrastructure within ourselves that right. we don't have. Hmm. And sadly, this is why I think we're so surprised sometimes by our brothers and sisters whom we just know as pretty good fellow Catholics, and then they're spinning out mm-hmm. in a gay marriage or in wanting, you know, a fiducia supplicans blessing. Right. And we're like, we didn't even know this was your issue. Mm. You know, like, right. can't we just say, yeah, I need to find some answers.
Yeah.
Or else I am going to go the way of a worldly Catholic
right.
and begin to gay identify or whatever, or leave my spouse. You know, I mean, look at our families. Look at how our wonderful, earthy, pro-life Catholic families with 6 to 8 children. If you're sitting on a powder keg of shameful unchastity in whatever form, I mean, that seventh child might just do it yeah. to say, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to find some worldly validation of my inner divides.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is, church, can't we do better?
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the hallmark of Living Waters is that it's not like gimmicky. You know, there's so many ministries out there. I feel like we are quite saturated with so many things. Like, do these 5 things and you'll
right.
meet your expectation. What I love about Living Waters is it's basically like a salt for the church, just to amplify what is in her already to be this infrastructure of healing for persons, you know? And it's really gathering. It's gathering empowered, gathering boundaries, confidence, And then a curriculum to guide. So it's accompaniment with the direction. It's not just, oh, let's just kind of muse on each other. It's no, let's gather unto becoming chaste together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about Living Water. It's actually really quite simple.
Yeah.
And it's always in the context of the church. We love the church. We believe the church is our healing ground. She's our mother. She's the place where we encounter Jesus and we become integrated persons.
Yeah, I don't want to go outside of her.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, this is the rock against which hell will not prevail.
Amen.
I think we're just in some ways we're striking the rock in the most faithful
exactly.
sense of the word to release the water.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To say, come on, there's compassion here.
Yeah.
There's nutrients.
Right.
There's, like you say, real accompaniment with a direction.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, I love accompaniment. I'm grateful to Pope Francis in his pastoral heart, but he has not given us good direction for where we're going
mm-hmm.
when we have sexual conflicts.
Right.
You know, he seems a little allergic, like, well, don't really ask too much about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like it's kind of none of your business what I'm dealing with sexually. I'm like, well, I'm not forcing my way into anyone's bedroom, but gosh, we're all so prematurely naked through pornography and through just overexposure to...
A hypersexualized culture.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So can we afford not to say, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you, you know, again, and I think we have to define chastity in the most robust and earthy sense of the word. It's not, you know, just kind of...
repressing a sexual urge.
Yeah, white-knuckling abstinence. Like, oh, come on, I know it's so hard. I know it's so hard. It's like, no, chastity is about integration. It's about connection in a lean and a virile and a fruitful way.
Yeah.
And I think self-control is good news for the purpose of loving people well and forging good friendships with our clothes on until we have the discernment and the wherewithal to say, hey, could we maybe take this a little step further? You know, like your misbegotten wife who should never.
You know, she's not calling me back. It's
no,
really strange.
I know. She's not picking up your calls today. I mean.
She texted me, delete my number. I'm just kidding.
Delete the number, but not the marriage. Say that?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So we have just about 3 minutes left in this segment, but everything that you've both been sharing and plus everything I've read about what you've both written, this driving home of charity, of compassion, of creating a space for healing has to be grounded in truth. One thing that I've noticed about the both of your writings is you don't shy away from what the scriptures and the church and God teaches about the truth of the human person, because not only is that right, it's actually what sets us free and heals us.
Yeah,
yes.
Amen.
Yes, they're one and the same.
Right.
It's not like truth on the one hand and then the merciful
pastoral
father over here, like, Daddy, hold me. The truth is just hurting me. It's like, no, the truth can be bracing.
Yeah. Right.
It calls us up into more. I've been married for 43 years, 4 grown kids, lots of grandkids and so on. And there's something splendid and also rousing about being fatherly and grandfatherly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about my inner child. It's about integrating my needs into caring for other people responsibly. And for that, we need to be roused.
Mm-hmm.
We need to say at times, I'll help you, but you actually have to have a commitment to laying aside some childish things,
mm-hmm.
Which destabilize the woman in your life or the women in your life. So I think truly, as you say, truth invites mercy. Mercy invites truth. There's a beautiful fusion of that in our aspiration and commitment to robust chastity.
Right.
And that's what we're seeking to discover together.
A quick comment before the heartbreak.
Yeah, we need the ethic and the ethos. We need the orthodox teaching and the practice of, well, if this is hard for you, let's walk together. So one without the other is lacking.
Right.
You know, we don't necessarily need another document with 100 footnotes. You know, we need a
really, we don't?
We don't. We need a community that says, you know, this is a high bar, but Jesus helps us and we're going to go to him together.
Mm-hmm. And at the core of this is, which we're going to talk about in the next segment, is this notion of being rooted in the identity of actually who we are versus what the culture is telling us to do, which Amen. The both of you have done fantastically on your website and in your ministry. I'm talking to Andrew Komisky and Marco Casanova, director and associate director of Desert Stream and Living Waters Ministries. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta on Cresta in the Afternoon. Stay tuned as we round off this first hour with the both of them. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon, the first hour of today's program. I'm Marcus Peter, by the way, and I'm talking to Andrew Komisky and Marco Casanova, the founder and associate director respectfully, of Desert Stream Living Waters Ministries. And their work is in bringing about a proper reintegration of the fullness of God's plan for the sexuality of the human person, and to create those spaces for that growth and that healing within church communities, which is a lot of what's going on at Christ the King in Ann Arbor today. So just to give all of you a brief overview, at 7 p.m. today, Andrew will be giving a talk about kingdom living and restoring the fullness of God's plan for our human sexuality at Christ the King in Ann Arbor. So now still a very good time for you to restructure your evening plans. This is something you don't want to miss, because not only does it promise to be enlightening, it also promises to be healing. It promises to be restoring.
Yeah. And hopeful.
And hopeful, yes.
Sexual integration covers many bases, but when you think of homosexuality, it's almost like, division, separation, disconnection,
right,
family breakdown, disappointment, shame. And how about hope? How about compassion? Mm-hmm. How about divided parts of oneself coming together? How about families growing to better understand and at the same time to stand in loving truth,
right,
on behalf of fellow members that may not be that open to the truth at this point in time, but it doesn't change the truth or Jesus converting us through his compassion for persons through those that we encounter and are called to love that may not immediately love our message, but we love them.
Right.
And love is better.
Yeah, right.
And love wins and right. works. Mm. And so I think that's what we're seeking to offer. It's so simple, but we're not intimidated. That's the word. It's intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of the sexual identity meltdown in our world today, and honestly, just in Catholic language, the broken sort of fractured anthropology that we're buying hook, line, and sinker, I think it's intimidation.
Yeah.
I think we feel like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to lose my job.
Yep.
I don't want my daughter to hate me. Mm-hmm. I want my son to come home for Christmas. You know, I don't want to be seen as a heavy-handed fundamentalist.
Or a bigot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. bigot, racist. Racist. It's in the same realm as racism now, which is so insane. When you think that, well, sexual identity is so plastic. It involves so many variables that is completely unlike the gift of one's ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
We dare not transfer that one concept
yeah. Yeah.
to a vulnerable young boy or girl who is now adopting this whole other persona of the opposite gender, and we're equating that with truly an oppressed African American child. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's like,
right.
You know what? We've lost our bearings when it comes to truly distinguishing apples and oranges in regards to how and what we identify.
Right.
Yeah.
And across the generations, though, this divide has not only become more apparent, it's now gone from initial ostracization to complete vitriol now. You know, to be branded a homophobe, it is to be branded a racist, and it's to endure the wrath of cancel culture.
Right. You know, and I'm even thinking about young Catholics who probably have heard many talks on this subject that sound something along the lines of, well, this is a big cross for you, you know, sorry about that. Maybe find some good friends and maybe you'll be a saint, and then that's it. And it's so underwhelming. I can't tell you how many times I've been to Catholic conferences and that's sort of the SSA talk. That's the same sex attraction thing. And it's like, well, that's kind of disempowering.
Yes. And the equation of chastity with a single celibate life.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So, and that's, they're two different things.
Right. Right.
A celibate, as you know, a celibate calling is when people say, because of what Jesus is doing in my life, I am willing to lay down my integrated desire for opposite sex relating. I'm laying that down for the kingdom.
I'm doing it
willfully and maturely and squarely. And I there's a witness of a grace to do so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That's not what we're hearing today, which is kind of just celibacy by default,
right?
Because I have same-sex attraction,
right?
And isn't that noble?
Right.
And I think you embody that so well. I mean, I do too, but I was not on a fast track towards becoming a priest. I was a kind of sunny, you know, pseudo superficial evangelical, and you know, on the beach, you know, in the late 70s. Your track was so different, but it's kind of the same difference.
You don't
leap over your conflict,
right,
and then call it white knuckling celibacy.
Right,
that's a misuse of celibacy, and it's an avoidance of real chastity.
Right, and so I think tonight hopefully offers people a robust hope of, okay, you know, this may be a part of my experience.
My struggle. And I have to own that.
You know, this is a wound, you know, and I can learn how to clean that wound, invite the mercy into that wound. I can learn about it. And I don't have to be stifled by it or identified by it. And I can live a life beyond it.
Right.
You know? So I think tonight offers that for people. So if you're listening and you're thinking, well, yeah, that's my struggle. I've never heard those type of insights. Come tonight, you know, and maybe get some new vision for what life could look like for you if you struggle with same-sex attraction.
Right.
Or if you're seeking to love people who are utterly LGBTQ identified, are rainbow citizens, and are in your face about it.
And if I may add, I don't think there's a single listener right now who does not know someone or know someone who knows someone
who's
entrenched in this in some way right
20
now.
20 years ago, it was everyone knew a, quote, gay person. Today, everyone knows a niece, a nephew, a son or daughter, a brother or sister who is transitioning, who's now identifying as the opposite sex or is in between and is considering themselves they. And so this is the new normal.
Right.
So we're on a spectrum here. It's not just an interior phenomena, though there are interior issues. It's a social phenomenon.
Yeah.
I dare say a social construct that people are adopting to making sense of a certain loneliness, a desire to belong, making sense of certain feelings and experiences of life in our sex and porn saturated culture. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of a pandemic that we're all facing.
Right.
And we need to be truly Catholic and truly kingdom.
Amen.
In our approach, drawing upon our good spirit-filled inheritance, which is to say, no, Jesus is deeper and truer.
Yeah.
And he is relevant to your life. And I'm not just writing you off as a member of a different culture, that I'm just going to quietly say, well, that's your reality, and this is my Catholic reality. Catholic means universal. That means that what I understand actually has relevance for you.
Right.
And I want to get to know you too, and that has relevance for me. Mm. But I am not adopting that mindset and shifting what is a true ontological dignity,
right,
in regards to what it means to be human, made in his image as male and female.
Amen.
I want you to remember that.
You know, I want to just add to this, just based on what you just said, Andrew. It's so important that we realize that because human nature is broken, the whole sexual liberation movement promised this magic bullet that would enable human expression and set the human person free. Yeah. And all it's done is created a contagion, this kind of virus, if you will, and it's infected the brokenness of human nature.
Yes.
And what you've been doing at Desert Stream and what you will be doing today at Christ the King is proclaiming that the divine physician knows your true identity.
Amen.
Yes, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. I mean, if that's all you heard and you can't come tonight, just remember that. Sorry if you can't come. Don't bother reading my book.
Listen to Marcus.
Yeah,
man.
Come to Marcus' house.
Seriously. No, that's the truth, though. I mean, Jesus never loses sight of who we are. We bear his image, and he has a plan for us beyond our fractures that seem to take a lot of our mind space. But he has a vision beyond that. And I agree. I think tonight is going to be a really empowered event.
That's
so please
great.
Come.
And this is such a great community.
It's a great church.
Community you're a part of, and Renewal Ministries, and this church.
That's
and
great.
All these. I mean, I know that you guys are all terrible people, and we just don't know you well enough. But you're luminaries to us.
Amen.
Earthy, but you're luminous to us. So we think Ann Arbor, I'm going.
It's like, let's get on that plane.
You know, you're
Come
completely
on.
Right. But for me, the church would be an outstanding institution.
You're a terrible person.
I know it.
But
and I'm working
I love
on
you,
it.
And I'm glad you're coming tonight.
So you know, we have just about 2 minutes,
yes.
Right? Leave our listeners with a sense of hope and exhortation, because okay, some people might not be able to be there, but this beast, this beast of gender ideology and the sexual movement, it's terrifying. Like you said, it seeks to intimidate the children of God constantly.
Yes. So just remember, you're a child of God. And your son or daughter, your great friend at work, your neighbor, though he or she may be an estranged son or daughter, they're still one. And the father is still fighting for their dignity. And we can do that in our prayers. Hmm. We can do that in our love. We can do that in saying, Holy Spirit, show me a way just to serve this person in our common humanity in a way that registers as kingdom. Hmm. Gosh, you care for me.
Right.
You just want connection with me. I mean, that's what I do with my gay identified neighbors. I just want connection with them. They may not want me to pull out my family Bible or the catechism, but I can love them, and I can love them in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. And when they tell me about their gay stuff or whatever, I can say, well, thank you for sharing that. That's very personal and very vulnerable, and I take that very seriously. And in a way, they may be trying to be activistic, but I think what they're actually inviting me into is know me as a person, but because I know them as a fellow member of the Imago Dei, mm-hmm. I can endow my presence and my love for them with that clarity.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's a kingdom action.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew and Marco, for joining us.
Thank you, Marcus.
I've been talking to Andrew Komisky and Marco Casanova of Desert Stream and Living Waters Ministries, and they will be speaking, Andrew will be speaking
and
at...
Marco, too.
And Marco, too. Yeah. At Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor at 7 p.m. today, so make sure to be there. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta on Cresta in the afternoon.